You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen. You may have been hearing my name a little bit around town. This podcast has been around for just over 3.5 years. We are coming up on 300 blah, blah, blah episodes and almost 10,000 or 100,000 downloads. Not 10,000, 100,000 downloads. So this show is doing great. If you're enjoying it, you're finding value in it, please don't keep it a secret. Tell your lawyer friends about it. Give us a great review. Write something pleasant. If you're unhappy with it, well, then you're probably not listening anyway. So there you go. Problem resolves itself. We've got Joan waiting in the wings. How you doing, Joan?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Yeah, you were so excited to be on the show that I saw you pop into another Zoom meeting with me like yesterday. And I'm like, I think she's a day early. And then you emailed me and said, no, I just want to make sure the link works. So I was like, so enthusiastic about being on my show. I got excited about it too. So that's all good. That's all good. As everyone knows, this show is about helping you to be that lawyer. And that's involving someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And Joan is going to help, you know, really work through a lot of the what I call head trash today. We all have our own little head trash. And so we need to bring people on here that can straighten you out on that. And it starts off with a great quote of the show. And that is, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. And then if I had some like spooky music, right, that would go along with it too, but I don't. So, So first of all, Joan, welcome to the show. So happy that you're here. And please indulge us and give us some insights on that quote and what it sort of means to you.
Yeah, well, I think that for all of us, we will face situations or conditions that we know it's time to make a change. And sometimes, you know, we get pushed into it, right? Sometimes we have a longing and we want to go towards it. And it's not easy either way, actually. And so when we decide that we want to go to the next step in our life and really make a change that we know is needed, maybe physically it's telling us, emotionally, psychologically, financially, you know, it's about when we have the fear to befriend the fear, to go into the cave where our treasure is, because that truly is where it is. It's in our, it's the heart's desire that we have to listen to. And so often we go with our pros and cons rather than our longing and our discontent. What is at the heart?
Yes. And it's interesting that a lot of times the fears that we have aren't like legit fears. Like, I'm not running away from a tiger. I'm not running away from a tornado. Like, it's, I'm afraid of having this conversation with this client, or I am concerned or afraid of putting myself out there in a networking meeting because I might get rejected, or it might be a waste of time, or I'm, you know, whatever it is, there's so much fear out there that I don't know, where is that all coming from? Where's it all being built up from?
Well, I think we see it all around us. And so often, you know, if we turn on the TV or the news, everything is about what's not working. And the more we focus on what's not working, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do we begin to turn that around to look at what is working? What are we grateful for? Right? And, you know, and that's really a challenge sometimes when we're in circumstances or situations that we don't prefer. But that's the work right there.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know we're going to take it to much further depths in the coming minutes. But give us a little bit of your background. You're Joan Butler, co-owner of Relationship Center for Change. And how did you get into coaching? How did you become a coach? Give us the, I don't know where you want to start, 6 years old or above, but leading into your Be That Lawyer tipping point of kind of where your career took a big transition.
Well, one of the things I want to say is I'm also a licensed marriage family therapist, and I midlife actually did that career, okay? But I started out, there's a book called Goal-Free Living, and it talks about the different kinds of people. And I would say I'm more of a river people. And what that means is that we go into life and we eddy off a little bit and we try something, and then we go back on the river and we eddy off again and try something. And so I've done many things. I worked in marketing and advertising. I worked in sales. I had my own food businesses. I was a co-owner of that. And then midlife, I really decided I wanted to go back and get my master's. And I wasn't really clear at the time I was trying to do a combination between a broadcasting degree and development of child into a children's talk show, actually. And the dean of the school said, you know, I don't think this is going to work what you're doing here. And so I just started taking classes after classes, and then it led me to become actually licensed as a therapist. But I knew that that wasn't the end result, because I had come from a family of 10 in the Midwest in Michigan. And when I was three, I had my mother delivered twins, and then immediately got pregnant after that. And the twins were both like 2 pounds, 3 pounds, and born with really mental and physical chronic conditions. And so it threw my whole family into a crisis. And my dad didn't go through crippled children's for many, many years. So I learned at three to sort of become sufficient without mentorship. And I call it being sufficient in an insufficient way. It's like getting in a car and driving without having a driver training. And for many years, I did that until about midlife, when sort of I learned, okay, I need to get some mentorship. So not only did I get my license as a therapist, but I went on to several different forms of school in coaching to really get deeper in how do I not just sit there and feed a person a fish, but really teach them how to fish. And so now I work with curriculum on people in terms of with people so that they can learn the tools of how to help them, especially when it's in stressful situations.
Yeah. And you got into that, I'm assuming, you know, to be of service and to help others and you enjoy that part of it. But here's my question. We're living in a very weird world at a weird time. And what the hell's wrong with people? How about that for a question? What is wrong with people? I mean, I travel, you know, travel to Europe, and yeah, people aren't perfect there either. But over here, it just seems like people are just not getting better.
We're not listening. We're not taking time to really listen to what we love. We're concerned about what's out there than what's in here, and it gets us in trouble. It gets us in, because then we wake up and somehow our life is off course, you know? I was thinking about the show and making it more really conducive to your audience. And I think about, it was just a year ago that I had a woman that called me up. I had worked with her many, many years ago in therapy. And she said, Joan, I'm calling you to let you know that I might have an attorney call. And, you know, I just want to know if you have my records. And so we talked. I said, well, what's going on? And she was in the middle of a dispute, a workman's comp dispute. It was during COVID. She was a kind of a head director, administrator of a school. She had a certain philosophy in terms of keeping safe. Other people didn't. And she was in the middle of this workman's comp situation, and she was scared. She was nervous. She felt betrayed by it. And I said, you know what? Work with me. Work with me in doing some coaching right now. And so we got her a Power Life script, where she started working with what she wanted. The fact was still there that she was in this situation. But over time, she said, 2 months later, she said, I went to my attorney and he says, what's going on with you? He said, you're in such a different place. Why? Because she was focused on what she wanted rather than the problem of what was happening. We were not denying that the problem was there, but she started looking toward what she was longing for next. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But I think people are now wondering the next question, which is, what the heck is a Power Life script? So I'm wondering too, because you mentioned it and kind of just breezed through it into your answer, which is wonderful. But we have to go back. And I would love to hear what your definition of that is. What is that Power Life script that someone would have?
Power Life script is sort of, you're listening again, more from the heart in terms of what your longing is and what your discontent is. Discontent is pushing you away from something. Longing is bringing you towards something. And then we do a blueprint. So I help you calibrate a blueprint of what you are looking at to do next in your life. And then what we do is we start to bridge the gap from where you are to where you want to be. And this is where people get stuck, because there's a saying, where our attention goes, energy flows. So if we have an intention to have this kind of life, and we're over here, but our attention is on the problem, where's the energy going to flow? It's going to flow more towards the problem. And so, and I want to say this with a lot of attorneys, you know, when they are, you know, if they're working with a client, family law, going through a divorce or workman's comp thing or litigation, they're taking on the stress of their client. And if their client is focused more on the problem rather than going to the next situation of what they want in their life, for both of them, they create a better, improved situation and it goes smoother as well. So the first part of a vision life script is it's the blueprinting of it, getting really, really clear. You can't go an architect and just say, I want a nice life. You have to go to the architect and say, these are the things that I really would love. I want it, and get really specific.
Yeah, I want the kitchen with the island, and I want, like, you're giving that kind of description, and then same thing with your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when people first start writing a power life script, they go to, we call it avoidance goals or like approach goals. It's normal for all of us to first go to approach goals. Well, I don't want that, right? But what do you want? Because people can tell you what they don't want. But it's really different to get a person to say what they want. And a part of the process is going about what they don't, right?
Yeah.
So we go from the blueprinting to the bridging, the gap between where they are and where they want to be. And then we start to work on the building of what they want next in their life.
Got it. And for people that are maybe not ready for that, right? That could be down the line. They're just looking to make it through the day, make it through the week, maybe have a more positive mental attitude or more positive outlook. How do people direct themselves to that? Because I think we need to start with lawyers in particular. There's some that are super positive and energy and going at it. There's others that are just, you know, God, can I get it through today without putting my head through a window? I mean, it's like there's that type of discrepancy between them.
Yes. And that's what really the work is, because in the blueprinting, we are sort of sorting through the stuff that's not wanted, right?
Right.
That's all a part of that process, is helping them look at, again, energy flows where your attention goes. So notice what you're noticing. What have you been noticing in the last moment? What have you been noticing in the last 5 minutes, right? Noticing and coming back to, is my attention on being, you know, worried or stressful? Or is my attention more on what I want? That's why, you know, I worked in an ER for a while with people who were suicidal, homicidal. What was it? The hope was gone. So we began with creating the hope maybe that has gotten lost along the way.
So again, someone is listening to this. They're saying, that's all great and fine, but I want to start looking at, how do I direct myself in a positive way? What tips can you give them? So I know, like, we can make a list of things we don't want. I don't want to bill 2,500 hours a year. I don't want to be micromanaged by my boss anymore. I don't want to be yelled at by clients. I want to be treated nicely. Okay, so now we have a list of things we don't want. Maybe my direction is I want the opposite of those, or I want autonomy, I want control, I want freedom, right? So then, but actually taking action and making change is really the beast of it. People can think all they want. How do people start enacting change in a positive way?
That's where decision comes in. You know, the word decision, the root of it is to cut away from. Okay. So the first thing that we have got to do is make a decision that we want that change. You know, Steve, when I was getting my license, I was working in San Francisco and I would get up and drive in the city at 4:30 in the morning, work from 5 to 2, and then do my internships in the afternoon. I had a boatload of student loans. I had great benefits there. It was the one job pre-license that you could make at least decent money, right? And one morning, I'm driving at 4:30. I have no feeling from my elbows to my fingertips. I had neck and carpal tunnel so bad. I had just no feelings. And I said, okay, I had to make, usually there is a defining moment where we have to make a decision. And my decision was, whatever it's going to take, I'm going to do to change the situation. I was on a headphone, taking 500 to 600 calls a day. Maybe it was working for managed care, maybe getting people to their benefits or not. And I did all this work to work with people. So it starts with a decision, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, check this out. You've just had a call with a client where they need help with something you don't do. You've reached out to colleagues, you've searched the lawyer directories, and you simply tell them you don't know anyone that can help. Overture changes all of that. Overture is the first private attorney network designed for the country's best independent attorneys to refer matters to one another and ethically share in referral fees. It's a great way to keep your clients happy and build your practice with referred clients. It's by the founders of LegalZoom. Membership is free if you're accepted, but act now to get priority access to referrals for your state and practice area. Apply for membership at overture.law, overture.law. Okay, let's take a quick break to talk about how MoneyPenny is changing the game for lawyers who are losing business every day and may not even realize it. It's impossible to provide amazing client service when you have phone trees, voicemail jail, or untrained staff handling your phones. Every inbound call could be a new client to intake properly or an opportunity lost. With MoneyPenny, it's all but ensured the call will be handled exactly the way you want it every time. To take immediate action on this, write down this email and start your free trial. It's svj@moneypenny.com and just mention my name in the subject line.
Lawyers, there's an easy way to boost your law practice. Partner with Get Visible, the digital marketing agency that makes you stand out. Meet Sarah, an awesome lawyer but a terrible marketer. Get Visible helped her build a powerful website and boost her online visibility. Now she ranks high on Google, gains clients through ads and engaging content. Tired of feeling insignificant? Make it rain. Visit getvisible.com and stand out.
And actually, if you don't mind me spinning this for a second, it's also what, if we're talking about business development for lawyers, which is kind of my jam, that's also how we get change in others. So for example, if you're a lawyer and you're meeting with a general counsel's working with an existing firm, they're not going to change just because the weather's different today. You need to talk them and walk them through the things that have been going wrong, the things that they're not getting that they should, the things that you need to get them to get into an emotional state where they're at a point where they say, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I want something new, something fresh, something. I want you. You're the lawyer that I want to work with. And so we're teaching this in a way to lawyers that think they need to go out and pitch and sell, but really it's about asking questions, listening, understanding, empathizing, and trying to uncover someone's pain or fear where they get to a point where they don't want to continue keeping things the same. So I think there's some really good interrelationship between ourselves and what we need to do for ourselves, but also how we interact with others to get change.
Yes. Yes. You know, one of my mentors says, the content of our life is the curriculum for our evolution.
Wow, you've got a lot of these. You've got quotes of the show all through the show. I mean, that's amazing. We need to do a show just on your quotes. I mean, that's a show. That's a 6 month out, Joan. That's another show. I'm going to ask you to come back and do that. But say that one again. That was fantastic.
The content of our life is the curriculum for our evolution.
Yeah. Wow. That's heavy.
If we're open and willing to listen and to realize that some of these things that, and you know this, my goodness, you know, I know your story about the airplane accident, right? It's like these things, if we allow them and we take that feedback, they can really serve us. You know, if someone's sitting in a meeting and they're realizing that something's really not going right here, right? That's information.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just watching body language when you see someone kind of cross their arms or you see someone, you know, kind of, you know, say things to you that aren't positive in a direction of this is all moving forward, and you can read that and address it, right? And actually have the gumption or the right language to address it in a non-confrontational way, you know, might be better for some people. And then understand and learn from that so that you can either overcome it or maybe move it to a no because ultimately it wasn't a fit anyway. That's okay. But now we know versus we walk out of the meeting with just scratching our head saying, geez, I sure hope they call me. You know, which is the way a lot of people leave meetings, which is very unfortunate.
Yes, 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 totally. Like, yeah. So, you know, this takes me to the concept of paradigms, okay? And I remember in graduate school, the first time I really, you know, kind of listened to the word paradigm. And I went, ooh, they said paradigm shift. And I realized, whoa, that's like, that's like when I was in San Francisco and the big earthquake in 89, right? It's like, I felt the earth below me. I was like, whoa, you know, this is a real shift here, right? So paradigm shifts, you know, there's two ways paradigm shifts happen. One is through a bit like a big event. Okay. So it could be positive. It could be you just got married or you had a baby, right? But usually a big event will be you got a divorce, you had an accident, you got fired, right? Or the second way, and the second way is that you get into repetition in terms of changing your thought processes. Okay, that's where coaching is. It's a process of repetition until you have a new parent, because it's a habit of thought, basically. And so, you know, paradigms show up as delay, distraction, DEFCON, which is a military term where people just like freeze, right? Or dissuasion, we dissuade ourselves from the next. So it's like, in my work, it's to be able to identify the paradigm, the habitual thought process that needs to shift, right? So you don't have to face that major, major crisis. Now, it doesn't mean that every situation and circumstance in your life you're gonna love, but when you do face them, you're gonna feel very differently in how you handle it. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I think everyone has paradigm shifts in their life, maybe multiple times, and it's what you do to learn from that or to execute on it once it happens. So, you know, you get fired from your job, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you're in a slump. What then door opens for you? Well, now I'm able to go out on my own and really start a whole new business myself. Or now I'm able to go in-house and I find, you know, through networking, a friend that can get me in with this company where I end up being much happier. We have to look at it that way. And I mean, my plane crash, you know, people have heard the story or not, I don't know. But, you know, for me, it was an absolute paradigm shift in, I only have one shot at this thing. I learned that day and recovering from that you have one shot at this thing called life. And you're either going to make the best of it every day and do for your family and do for your career and help make this place better than you found it, or you're going to squander it. And I think there's a lot of people that are taking it for granted. You know, just, you know, blowing money, just doing things that aren't really leaving things better. So again, that was mine. And you know, working in the legal industry has been the greatest honor of my lifetime. And I'm going to definitely leave it better than I found it. I think I've already helped in that. But you have to look at where you, what you can get out of, whether it's a positive thing or disastrous thing, what you can get out of it that's going to move the needle.
Yes, exactly. That's why the content of our life is the curriculum for our evolution. Right.
Yeah. So when people go through the moment, that paradigm shift moment, and let's say it's just a realization that, and for lawyers, it could be, you know, I just realized I have 10 bosses. I have the three that give me work and the seven clients that, you know, that give me, you know, grief every day or whatever. And I've got to make a change, but I'm locked in. You know, that's the thing. Like, people feel locked into a situation because they have student debt. Like you had, right? They've got the law school debt. They've got, you know, three kids in the, you know, in home. I mean, I've got a guy right now that I'm talking to that absolutely needs me like air, and he is struggling. You know, I'm not the cheapest guy in the block. I'm not the most expensive guy in the block, but you have to pay for services, right? If I want to hire a lawyer, there's a fee associated. So, but he's struggling with how he's going to make that work. And so I'll bend over backwards to try to figure it out with him. But ultimately, you know, that's, how did you get out of that cycle?
Okay, so, you know, there's a term that says get out of what is. Get ahead of what is. Get ahead of what is. So that's why the work I do is vision, very vision oriented. Because what vision does is you get out ahead of what is. So, you know, there's a story of a man that he'd get in the shower every day and he would just like, his whole thing was like he was having an argument in his head with his boss, right? And he all of a sudden he was doing this work and he was like, oh my God, every morning I have this argument with my boss. So what he did is he started to get out ahead of what was, in the sense that he started to say, okay, you know, how do I want to be in the show or in my head? Do I want to be fighting with him every day? Or do I want to see he wasn't a real skillful, we'll say he's unskillful, the boss.
Right.
What is one or two things that this guy is good with, right? And how can I start to get out ahead of what is the unskillful part and go to the skillful to at least begin to shift the energy again? Now, it's not saying stay there, but while you're there, what are you going to do to shift the energy so that you can get ahead of what is and start to have a vision for your life that is greater than what is right now? You know, there's a proverb that says something like, where there is no vision, there's no hope, you know? So that's why it's so important to craft a new vision, because then when you notice your attention is on the problem, you can shift your energy to the vision of what you want for your future.
Well, here's an interesting thing too. I mean, one of the things that most lawyers are really, really good at doing is solving problems, except their own. So I think, right? So, I mean, coaching is important and great and all that. However, you know, use a little bit of your skill sets of solving other people's problems and legal problems and the creativity involved in language and arguing and all that, and put it on yourself and see if you can figure out, you know, where the situation you're in is headed, if nothing changes, and what you may need to envision would have to happen for it to change. And is it a tenable outcome? And if it is, great, you know, follow that vision. If it's not, you have to look at all their alternatives.
Exactly. So Steve, say I'm the queen of quotes, but I'm going to
queen of quotes. I'm giving you that title too, queen of quotes.
When you're in the picture, you can't see the frame. Okay. So, I mean, that's for all of us, right? I have my own coaches, right?
Yeah. Well, those coaches have coaches. I've got a bunch that I'm talking to on a regular basis.
So we can be really good, but we don't have, again, when we're in the picture, we can't see the frame because we're there, right? So we need to have some distance from it with someone sort of shining a light that we don't see.
Yeah.
That's
important. And sometimes helping you bring out the path yourself, right? Like a good coach is going to try to get you to, again, like you said, fish for yourself. However, I know, like for me, I do a combination of coaching and training because on one hand, I want to coach and let someone work through that. But on the other hand, there's a whole bunch of skills that need to be learned to be effective at something that I'm going to coach them on. They need that training too. So, you know, they don't have the answer. So, you know, I think there's, but in your situation where you're looking to help someone kind of really break through, you know, having that outside perspective is critical.
Yeah. I have clients that'll say to me, they'll start to say a paradigm that they have from the past that doesn't serve them, right? And so I said, there's three magic words, up until now. Because our language is really important, either keeping our paradigm stuck or changing. So, you know, up until now, this happened, up until now. I always do this, up until now. You're breaking the chain of the constant thing that we, you know, we have certain things that there's this thing called basic assumptions, okay? And we all have like one major basic assumption. It might be, you know, I don't know. That's a freeze one. You know, I can't, right? And these are things that we say to ourselves and we say out loud. And many times we don't even hear ourselves. And so with a basic assumption, when we do it so often, we're not even aware of it. So it's like up until now, and I will stop someone in the conversation up until now, but you're shifting that belief system that might've been true, but up until now, let's shift it. And so what happens is over time, they'll say to me, oh, I know, Joan, up until now. I went, yeah.
Right. It's not, that's a great outlook, especially for people that, you know, do get ahead of themselves about the future, and they get ahead of themselves about their, you know, the worry about things that haven't even happened yet, right? or the things that have happened in the past that they can't get over. Really, really great stuff. Awesome. So let's transition to our game-changing podcast. And you threw out a new one that I hadn't heard that I'm intrigued to hear more about. It's called School of Greatness. Tell us about that.
By Lewis Howes. You know what I love about that podcast is he is always bringing individuals from many different, you know, aspects of life. And all of them have overcome some major thing, right? And he interviews them in terms of their process of how they've overcome it. It's a great, yeah. He was someone who...
We need that inspiration. I think we need, you know, we see that, okay, we see more negative than we see positive, but I think we need more positive. So that's, you know, and every time you hear someone overcoming cancer, overcoming, you know, any tragedy, a loss, I mean, and how they did it, and then maybe even excelled even further, like far beyond their expectations. Those are all things that we need to hear on a fairly regular basis.
Because we hear enough of the other, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's all doom and gloom out there. So we've got to pick up our positivity somewhere. Hey, as we wrap up, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Of course, we've got Get Visible and Overture and MoneyPenny. If you didn't hear their commercials earlier in the thing, check them out. They're just fantastic companies helping lawyers to be their best selves and make more money and be more efficient. And if you're interested in checking out my philosophy of business development called sales-free selling, I'm teaching you not to sell, not to pitch, not to convince, but actually to go off and some things we talked about with you and I, Joan, which was, you know, asking, listening, empathy, walking a buyer through a buying decision in a conversational way. It's a much more fun and intelligent way to build business. You can go to my website at fretson.com/sales-free-selling and pick up your e-copy, ebook version. If people want to get in touch with you, Joan, they want to talk to you about coaching, they want to learn more about the Relationship Center for Change, how do they get in touch with you?
Okay, so my email is joan@rc.change.com. And my number is 707-769-1215.
Yeah, and we'll put all that in the show notes. The queen of quotes. Joan, thank you so much. You now have a title on our show, which we're going to keep using over and over again until you get sick of it. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your quotes and your knowledge. I mean, this for the lawyers listening, I hope that you all took something great away from today. I've got my usual page of notes here. I've got my remarkable two that I don't get paid for promoting. I'm sure we get to Joan. I mean, page of notes, things circled, highlighted. I mean, I'm really a very active listener, which I think you were saying is a good thing, right?
Good thing. A really good
thing. All right. Well, thanks again. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Yeah. But hang out for a second. Everybody, before we go, I'd be remiss to say thank you for listening to the show. Again, really appreciate that you take the time, the 30 minutes twice a week to listen. If you didn't know that that's how often we're on, that's how often we're on. Coming up on 100,000 downloads, very exciting stuff. Again, all for you, helping you to be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe, be well, and we will talk again very soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.